We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back. It's quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show, and you know what time it is. It's time for Ask Greg your Penn State football and recruiting questions. Posed to Greg Pickle over here. I'm Dustin Hawkinsmith. We'll be working our way through the segment brought to you, as always, by tailgatewine.com. If you're looking for a unique gift idea for any occasion for that Penn State fan in your life, check out tailgatewine.com and the blue and white wine gift box. They have some wine and barbecue packages on their website at tailgatewine.com, where great wine meets great barbecue. And I say that now, the good folks at tailgatewine.com will be giving away a bottle of wine to whoever Greg says asked the best question today. So if you go to the Keystone Sports app, that's the best and easiest way to fire off a question for Greg here. There's just a button that says Ask Greg. You fill in the fields, and here we are. So if you don't have the Keystone Sports app, go get it. You should have it by now anyway. I'm not scolding you. I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed you don't have it. Are you ready, Greg?
Let's do it.
So the first one comes from Rob from Wall, New Jersey, with another outside linebacker commit in the 2020 class, talking about Curtis Jacobs. Who will Penn State take? Looking at Sampa and Sherman seem to be the front runner for high-end linebackers. Any chance with them? And it circles back to something we discussed previously, I'm not even sure when, about if Penn State is done recruiting linebacker in the 2020 or not. Certainly there are going to be some exceptions. Certainly you're going to look at the caliber of player, but what do you think about who Penn State would target, and would they target another one?
Yeah. So, I mean, at this point, you know, you're almost assuming that you're going to lose Micah Parsons after the 2021 season. Brandon Smith and Lance Dixon, you can probably expect to lose one of those guys. Jan Johnson's gone after this coming season. Ellis Brooks has 2 years left.
He was in the 17 class.
Okay, so he has a little bit. Yeah,
17,
so
18. Yeah,
yeah, so. Yeah. So we're talking about another 2 or 3 years from him. So I mean, Penn State's in pretty decent shape here, depth wise. But you still want to try and get as many of these guys as possible at the linebacker spot. So yeah, I mean, there's really three, I think, that Penn State will focus on the most here. Mekel Sherman, 5-star from Washington, D.C., and Antoine Sampa, the Woodbridge VA, 5-star. He was a high school teammate of Ricky Slade's. And then Khalil Mullings, a 4-star from Massachusetts. So I think you can see Penn State get a couple of more here. Now, would they just get these two? Would that be good enough? Yeah, probably. But I think three is the more likely number we're looking at here when all is said and done. And I think it comes from that group of three. I don't think they expand outside of that. If two, look, I think they would take all five. I don't think there's any question about that. But, you know, it's unlikely. You know, you're probably thinking two out of that group at absolute best, and four would be a fine number.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. If you're talking about 5-stars who are, you know, elite, transcendent type talents, I don't think Penn State would have a maximum number of linebackers in its class. So to answer his question, are they the front runner for either of those two guys?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that was the original question. We probably should answer that.
Nah, it was my fault for taking us astray.
It's hard to say. I would say they're in the top group for all those guys, probably not the front runner.
Good question, though. Greg's not mad yet. Last week he got mad over a question, so let's see if we can. And didn't the person who made you mad, didn't they win the bottle of wine?
Yeah, it worked out well.
So there might be a new strategy for you if you're one of the handful of people who ask questions regularly. Just make him mad. If you want, contact me. I'll tell you how to make him mad. Dave from Shippensburg, what are the odds that at least one of Will Levis, Taquan Roberson, or Michael Johnson Jr. look to transfer in the future?
Yeah, I really don't care to go down that road and predict.
Are you
guys
mad?
Nah.
Is that what you're saying? Oh, no.
Nah. I just don't. I don't like going down that road. I really don't. Look, I mean, I think just in a general sense, when you talk about wanting to have 5 scholarship quarterbacks on the roster, that's all fine and well. But you have to have 4 guys who are pretty happy with having next to no role in terms of game day, you know, responsibilities. You know, one guy might get to be a signaler. Maybe one guy fills a Tommy Stevens-like role and gets on the field a little bit. But other than that, you know, you're doing a lot of work in practice, helping to prepare, you know, the starters, the, you know, the backup defensive guys, whatever you're asked to do. And sometimes guys just have enough of that and look to move on. That could be any position, but obviously quarterback's the one of the few where if you're not number one, you know, it may not really matter if you're two, three, or four in terms of what you get to do during the week. So, yeah, I think that one thing we forget about is that, you know, if you're the number three quarterback, you know, sometimes some of the questions would be like, what does Will Levis look like in practice? Or what does, you know, this year Sean Clifford look like in practice? And granted, he got some more reps with Tommy Stevens being hurt a handful of times. But when you're number three, number four on the depth chart, you're not getting a whole heck of a lot of practice work. One of those guys, either the three or the four, will be over doing the scout team stuff. But if you're not that guy, you're probably just standing around a lot watching Tommy Stevens and Trace McSorley, using last year as an example, you know, work because they need the work and you don't. So it can be tough for guys. So nothing would surprise me anymore now that the transfer portal is the way it is. If guys want to look around for better opportunities once they get their degree, they're probably going to do it.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, it's speculative by nature, and you don't know how these competitions are going to go. You don't know who's going to stay healthy. You don't know who's going to surprise. So, but I think college football in general would suggest, the numbers would suggest that there's a fair likelihood that at least one of them goes on, because only one kid can play. Right. And especially as you're starting to see transfers ramp up, that's only going to kind of go further in the future. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is Ask Greg, your Penn State football and recruiting questions for Greg Pickle over here. Segment brought to you by tailgatewine.com, who will be giving away a bottle of wine for whoever Greg says. Ask the best question. You can do so on the Keystone Sports app by clicking the Ask Greg button. Lee from Pittsburgh reminds us that's in Pennsylvania, but he's formerly from Virginia, not Pittsburgh, Virginia, I assume. Says, please clarify, do transfer players coming into the program count against the 25 scholarships per year?
No. I mean, no. So they're basically a so the reason behind that is, as we looked up last week, was that the 25 is guys signing a financial aid agreement for the first time. So you can only have 25 guys signing a financial aid agreement with a school for the first time. So if I went to Miami and I was on scholarship there,
You're not right now?
I am not, no. They just didn't seem that interested for some reason. But and then I'm leaving to go to Penn State, and Penn State's offered me a scholarship. I'm signing that document for the second time at the college level, so I am different than the 25 guys signing the first time. So what I guess you could include in that, what wouldn't count that 25 is a guy that was a scholarship player or a walk-on somewhere else and then came to Penn State as a transfer and received a scholarship. I don't know if that's ever happened, though. Typically, it's more like the C.J. Holmes transfer from Notre Dame, where he was a scholarship athlete at Notre Dame, left Notre Dame for whatever reason, was kicked out, decided to leave on his own accord, whatever, it doesn't matter, and he comes to Penn State, and he's a walk-on, and it's basically because he has to prove himself to the staff and his teammates and all of that. So I don't think you will ever run into an issue like that, but then again, there's so many interesting things in college recruiting, like three commitments on a Saturday at all times of the day, that you just never know. So we'll have to wait and see.
Never really know. Here's one I'm curious your response to. It. Nate from Mars, PA, said, last week I asked about the lofty possibility that Michael Johnson Jr. wins the starting quarterback spot. You said the chances were slim, but looking over Michael's stats and highlights as a hopeful fan, I see sub-4.5 speed with good arm talent. As an expert, he didn't put it in quotes, but I will. What do you see on tape and his stats that says Michael Johnson Jr. is the low 4-star he's rated as, instead of a Tua Tagovailoa or a Trevor Lawrence type of freshman quarterback?
To be real honest with you, I watched him for a day of practice at the Under Armour game, and I was it was pretty easy to figure out. I mean, look, one practice is not an end-all be-all, especially in an all-star game where the kids don't know each other and their relationships with the receivers aren't there, etc. But the accuracy was an issue, and accuracy was an issue that came up earlier in his recruitment. It's not like this is the first time he's missed throws. So I think that's why he's slotted where he's slotted. You know, I don't necessarily know if he's, as much of a runner as we, you know, want him to think that he is. You know, I think that he'll move, but I think at a college level, he's a guy that might stand back and throw a little bit more than get out and just run. So, I mean, he ran a good bit at the Under Armour game, but I wouldn't use that as a good example for anything, because so often those guys at those All-Star games, they're not used to the receivers. The receivers are running routes that are wrong. The play call's wrong. I mean, it's easy just to break down and go run. So, no, I think he's slotted where he should be slotted. I don't think he should be any higher or any lower than he is.
I would say that that's a good assessment. And from, you know, just from an amateur tape viewing experience myself, his throwing is a lot of arm. He's got a quick arm, but getting that body lined up and getting the footwork right, and I think he needs to add some weight. You know, there's just some characteristics, and you just don't see when it comes to elite level arm talent, strength, accuracy, instinct. You know, it was clear as day that Trevor Lawrence and Tua Tagovailoa were special talents as they made their way through the camp circuit, because they were flawless in their execution at those things. And right. As you're saying there, you know, there were some flaws that came out in the camp circuit, and it's not a perfect place to evaluate. But if a guy's going to have some accuracy issues in that setting, you can probably assume you're going to see some accuracy stuff and some mechanics to clean up a little bit later. But he does have the potential to be an excellent runner. I still stand by the fact, when it comes to just being a pure runner, which Penn State's not going to want him to be, he's the best that James Franklin has recruited. He's the best pure runner that James Franklin has recruited as a quarterback. Let's see. We'll save a basketball question. That's a big question from Jeff from Oakdale. How about Rob from Warren County, New Jersey? He said on many occasions that the division realignment would be tough because of the travel for non-revenue sports, but football is the only Big Ten sport that uses divisions. Are the football divisions considered when making schedules for other sports, or does this change your opinion on what challenges are faced when considering realignment? Thank you, and keep up the great work.
No, that's a good point. But, yeah, I'm almost certain they are. I mean, you know, it's an east-west kind of game, and even though they don't necessarily align that way in their standings in other sports, I'm sure that they use that geography of it all as a way to map out the schedules and all that. So yeah, look, I think the biggest problem that, and for the Big Ten, I hate divisions. I really do. I hate them in all sports. I just don't like them. So I'd rather that the Big Ten's football be the same way and make it more like the Big 12, where it's just one group and your top two teams play, and that's kind of that. And I know it might be unfair, and it might mean we see a lot more Michigan, Ohio State every year, but I just think that's the best way to go about it. Divisions frustrate me. We don't have enough time to talk about that.
So somebody did make you mad. Who asked the best question?
Yeah, that's a good one. Let's go with the last one there. I like it. It was the one that
two weeks in a row.
Yeah, perfect.
Fire Greg up and then drink a bottle of wine to deal with the fact that he just berated you on radio. There you go. That's it for this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Be sure to download the Keystone Sports app, where you can ask Greg a question, and check us out at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.